Hi, everybody, and welcome to Two Off the First. For today is January 19th, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you with us. We are presented by our friends at French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana, and we have two stories for you, as the name of the show implies. Both of them, admittedly, are kind of live-related, but we are going to tie in some non-live things to the show. The day that Liv has been long waiting for is here. They've told the world that they have a television deal in the United States, so we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the first round of the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. A couple of things related to that. One related to a Liv golfer, that's Henrik Stenson. One not really related to a Liv golfer, that's Luke Donald. And then we'll kind of round everything out a little bit with some other TV golf news that I think is pretty exciting. So, we've got Liv announcing today that they have a television deal for distribution in the United States with a network. That network is UPN. No, I'm just kidding. It's the CW. And if you are not familiar with the CW, or you once were, if you are of my age and you used to watch like Dawson's Creek or One Tree Hill or Seventh Heaven or shows like that that were like teen dramas, that's the same network that we're talking about here, the one and the same. And that network is 75% owned by a company called Nexstar Media Group. And Nexstar Media Group owns, operates, does sales, supports something like 200 television stations around the country in, I think it's 116 markets, if I have their media site memorized well enough. And the company operates not only the CW, but also a channel that used to be called WGN America. So if you are, again, of my age, around 40 years old, and you used to watch Cubs games during the day, like when you had day off at school, it was on WGN America. Well, WGN America became a news channel for some inexplicable reason called News Nation. And I think it's meant to kind of have like a semi-right-wing slant, but not entirely. And so it's meant to be sort of neutral, but sort of not. Nevertheless, that's what WGN America became. And they own that. And obviously all these affiliate stations. So they own most of the affiliates related to the CW. And the way that these kind of affiliate things work between like the CW and this network called Ion TV, and there are a couple others that are kind of like that, you don't have to air their programming all the time. You have to air some of their stuff, and some of it you don't, and some of it you can preempt if you have other agreements. So like a CW station around here that Nexstar owns will often show like ACC basketball on the weekends when they have that availability, but they air the CW at night. So it sounds like this is the first foray for the CW into live sports. It's never happened before. The network's been around for at least most of my entire adult lifetime. And it used to be the Warner Brothers Network. It used to be the WB. Now it's the CW. And this is, again, their initial foray into sports. So they've never done anything quite like this. But they know the value of live sports because just look at the television ratings and they'll tell you. TV sports is it. That's really the only thing most people watch anymore as it's aired. Everything else can be done on demand or in an app or on your phone. And people do that in increasing numbers. They have cut their subscriptions to cable. They have cut the amount of time that they watch television. All of this stuff in kind of the name of streaming things that don't have to be watched right away. And sports is really the only thing that keeps people coming to TV consistently because it airs live. You want to see it as it happens. So this makes sense for the CW to get involved. Now, they're not paying Liv anything. Their agreement with the CW is a revenue share deal, which, if you've ever been in my world, the publishing world, you know rev share deal doesn't necessarily mean all that much. But it is a rev share deal, and that means the profits, you know, from advertising for the commercial space, stuff like that, that happens during these telecasts, they're going to be split by the CW, Nexstar Group, and Liv. So, what does that look like? Well, it kind of depends on how they can sell it, of course, and we've talked about that during yesterday's audio show. But the key here for Liv is that they're on domestic television, and they can puff their chest out about that. That's what they want. However, I think it comes at a cost, and here are the costs. One, not every round of Liv will be on television. The Saturday and Sunday rounds will be aired on television. The Friday round will not. It will only be streamed on the CW app. And I don't know many adults who have the CW app, but You can download it and you can get it and you can watch Live that way. The downside to that, though, is now Live will not broadcast their streams through YouTube, which I would argue with you is a much more popular app because it's been downloaded billions of times around the world and it's on everybody's phone and pretty much everybody knows how to use it and is comfortable with going to YouTube on their phone or their computer. That's not necessarily the case with the CW app. So just trying to find Live Golf could be a challenge on Fridays for people. And maybe they're willing to download it, maybe they're not willing to download the app. I don't know. We'll find out about that. But the Saturday and Sunday rounds are obviously, the weekend rounds are the ones that are frankly more important. You get to the business end of a tournament. So you have to be able to sell viewership for that. All the while you're still footing the bill for the production costs, the broadcast costs, all those things that go into making what turned out to be a really nice production, by the way. I mean, if you're going to give Liv kudos for anything, and you don't have to, but if you're going to give Liv kudos for anything, the broadcasts were enjoyable. They had a lot of cameras. They put a lot of money and effort into broadcasting something that looked pretty well refined. And if you kind of got past Arlo White's commentary, and the kind of talking point nature of much of it, the visual production was good. So they've got that to work off of, but it's still expensive and takes a lot of money and takes a lot of time, and they're going to have to sell it. And I don't know who they're going to sell it to in terms of advertising. And if it's nobody, then there's no rev to share. And I think losing that YouTube stream is kind of unfortunate, because if you look at the primetime numbers for people who are watching the CW, the CW is way down in terms of ratings this year. I mean, down bad. If you look at their 14 shows that they air in primetime, 10 are scripted, 4 are not. But if you look at the average primetime ratings for all of those shows in this 22-23 TV season, they have averaged 457,000 people for those first run episodes. That's maybe 5 to 10% of what you would expect on Fox, NBC, ABC, CBS on a similar night of the week. It's about the same as what you would expect for a golf tournament airing in the fall on Golf Channel. Somewhere in that range is kind of where the CW primetime shows are. Then add in that you have a very niche thing here with golf. I don't know if you're going to get that number, better that number. I don't know what the right projection is. But if you compare that to what the average worldwide viewing audience was for the Live Golf streams, the rounds that they streamed, so 24 rounds that they streamed over the course of those 8 events that they did in the Invitational Series, they averaged 482,000 worldwide viewers. Now, again, we're comparing domestic audience in the United States to a worldwide audience. I understand that. And so this is bound to be an increase. But knowing that all of the world is kind of getting away from watching television, and in many developing parts of the world is watching on their phones, and certainly are in this country, then I don't know if the trade-off's worth it. I'm not out here to give Liv tons of credit, but putting the broadcasts in full on YouTube was a good thing. If you liked Liv Golf, you had easy access to it. You could watch it on any device. You could watch it on your phone, the web, your TV. They have apps for the TV. You could cast it to your TV, whatever, smart TV, dumb TV, whatever you had. You could watch it. And you didn't have to have a TV channel. And I don't know if that having a TV distribution on the CW really changes that equation for them. Because now you've kind of lost what I think is a pretty significant part of your distribution. So we will see what that means for them. We have not heard their full schedule. And they did reiterate in this joint release that they will announce that soon. We know about half the schedule. So you still got 7 more events to find out. I'm sure either they're all in place already, or they're just kind of working out a couple of details on some of them. It's not like they're going to go, oh crap, we only have 7 events and that's what we're doing. I don't think that's the case at all. So if you're kind of worrying about or hoping for some kind of immediate destruction, that has not happened. We have not had any more word about Mito Pereira potentially joining Liv, although that sounds like that's in the bag. And we haven't heard about any other players really leaving. I was playing golf with some friends, and there were kind of some rumors bandied about how the PGA Tour is working to keep players on the tour. None of that's confirmed. A lot of that is conjecture, but there is talk out there about it. And there is, I think, a genuine interest in, from people about what the state of play will look like in 2023. And we really just don't know that yet until we have kind of a better sense of what all this means for LIV. But their first event is in a little bit more than a month. They still haven't announced their 48 players yet, so maybe they're still trying to finalize some of that. Or maybe they have in the bag and they're just kind of staggering all this stuff. Who knows? But on one hand, you have to say, hey, you've got a television deal. That is something. That is not nothing. But as I talked about on Twitter, just being on TV in the United States does not really mean anything. There's hundreds of channels, for one. And two, TV means less than ever in terms of consumption by the average American viewer. So just being on TV doesn't get you there. And having been a part of a television startup back in the day, about 10 years ago, called Back 9 Network, they managed to buy their way onto DirecTV, and they were willing to pay $8 million a year for a standard definition channel, even in 2013 or 2012, and that didn't last them very long. They told people they had money to run that channel as paid for 2 years, and it lasted, 6 months? So it doesn't necessarily mean being on TV gets you an audience. It doesn't necessarily mean it gets you advertisers. It helps, but I don't know that it does exactly solve all of their problems. So still more to come about that, but that was rumored. Now it's here, and we'll see what happens after that. But I do think that kind of comes with a bit of a cost to LIV that maybe they didn't. Maybe, obviously, they were willing to give up the YouTube stuff, but I think they may regret that down the line. All right, our second story for today has to do with the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. And that is the first full field tournament of the year on the DP World Tour. They had the Hero Cup last week, also in Abu Dhabi. That was at Abu Dhabi Golf Club. They moved across town to Yas Links, which has hosted this tournament previously. And this is the first Rolex Series tournament of the year as well. It's a $9 million tournament. Pretty solid field. Not top 10 names, but definitely top 20 names and better, or top 20 to 50 names. So you've got a good number of players assembled here. And some of those players are LIV players. And the reason for that is going back to the Scottish Open, when players who signed with LIV but were still DP World Tour members wanted to play in the Scottish Open because it's a co-sanctioned event with the PGA Tour. There are spots allocated, and still are for this year, for DP World Tour members. They wanted to play. DP World Tour said, no, you can't. You're not in good standing with us. We won't let you. And then those players filed for an injunction in arbitration and were given that right to play on the DP World Tour until the hearing, the full hearing around this matter, which is next month. So this could actually be one of the final tournaments that the likes of Lee Westwood and Henrik Stenson and some other LIV guys in the field this week, Patrick Reed, could play. Because if the ruling goes against them, then they're not going to be able to play on the DP World Tour any longer, at least until some kind of resolution of any nature happens in the future, whether that's LIV goes away or they come to a kumbaya, I don't know. But that would mean these guys aren't going to play on the DP World Tour for a while. So Stenson, who's the former Ryder Cup captain, who basically took the job as Ryder Cup captain amid all of the rumors about LIV, knowing that Ryder Cup Europe would take away the captaincy if he signed with LIV, and then signed with LIV anyway, he's playing this week the first time since the Scottish Open. And he opened with 4-under 68, and he talked to the media afterward. I mean, he is a player in the field. He is available. The DP World Tour has not shielded players from that kind of responsibility / opportunity, depending on how you look at it. And so he was asked just outright, hey, do you have any regrets about signing with LIV and what it has done in terms of reputational damage, because he lost the captaincy that ultimately went to Luke Donald, who, by the way, leads the tournament after round one, which is crazy. We'll get to that in a second. But he was asked about that, whether he had kind of any buyer's remorse. And Stenson basically said no. And he said, quote, I made my decision, and obviously Ryder Cup Europe made theirs. It's not great, but it is what it is. And Ryder Cup has been a huge part of my career. I wish Luke all the best with the team going forward, and we'll see where we'll all end up in the long run with this. End quote. Now, of course, that's kind of funny because Luke leads the tournament right now. And the other part of it is I'm often reluctant to be critical of people in my profession, right? I mean, you kind of want to stand up for people who are in the same line of work as yourself, I think, especially in kind of a professional, supposedly professional job like this. But I think this kind of questioning is silly because what's he going to say? What could his answer be? I mean, if you game this out, on the decision tree, his answers are no, and the answer that he gave, or yes. And there's no way he's going to say yes. He got paid a boatload of money by Liv to be the sitting Ryder Cup captain that went to their format, knowing full well he would lose the job. And then how would it go over with the Liv boys and the Saudis if he strolls to Mayakoba for the first event and was like, hey, we heard you regretted making the decision going to Liv, and you said it in Abu Dhabi. How is that supposed to work? That's not going to go very well at all. So you knew what the answer was going to be. And so why even ask the question that way? Maybe you go about it a little bit differently, spin it a little bit differently to get a little bit of a different answer out of Stenson. Because obviously he made his bed and he's comfortable with it. He might not love it. And we have a quote around that I think is worth discussing about that. But if you ask him if he's got regrets, the only answer he can give is no. The only one he can give is no. So I don't know why that question was asked. But he did talk a little bit about the kind of tumultuous nature of the last 6 months for him and kind of alluded to it with still kind of putting on a steely face, but he said, it's been difficult times, obviously. I hope we end up in a place where everything works out the best for everyone, players, spectators, tours, and everything else. Yeah, it's been a rocky road, not just on my end the last 6 months. I think for the most part, people are above that, end quote. No, they're not. I mean, they're not. This is still going on, and I think this is still very fresh for a lot of people. And I don't think it's going away anytime soon. But it is interesting that, especially the Liv guys, are all kind of talking about a resolution. They don't want to be pariahs. They don't want to be thought of that way forever because of this decision that they made. And they probably won't be in due course, whenever that day comes. But for now, they are in a lot of ways. And Stenson kind of projected, well, and I'll read the quote to you, my friends basically won't judge me for my decision. And he says, quote, if you're friends with someone, you're friends with them no matter where they choose to work. And sometimes, even if someone makes a decision that you don't necessarily agree with or think is the right one with the information and the circumstances that you have in front of you, but if you're friends, you can look past that. And that's what I feel here. There's a lot of people that I've spent many years with, and they continue to be my friends no matter where I play my golf. End quote. And I don't know if that's exactly true. Obviously, I don't know the nature of their relationships. They're personal. They're behind closed doors. It's stuff we're not going to experience or know. But I'm sure he's probably gotten some flack about this. Some could be a healthy amount. Some could be too much. Some might be a little bit. But I'm sure that there are some people, particularly those who are really passionate about the DP World Tour and perhaps the Ryder Cup, that feel Stenson and others betrayed them. And whether they'll get over that feeling or change that feeling over time, we will see. But I don't think there's got to be this assumption that if, we were friends before, we're going to stay friends and it's going to be totally cool because I went to work someplace different. Because it's not about your employment. It's not. And to frame it that way, I think, is misguided and not realistic. It's not just about your employment, because golf is a whole lot more than that at a professional level. It is your life. And I think that maybe weighs in a little bit more than Stenson alluded to in that quote and what he said after the round. But again, of course he doesn't have regrets. He knew what he was doing. He might have even known what he was doing the entire time, taking the deal to be the Ryder Cup captain, then taking even more money probably that was available to him before being the Ryder Cup captain to go to Liv. Kind of knew what was going on. You can't be that silly. You can't think that he didn't know it or didn't at least consider all of those things when that line of events happened. Did want to talk about Luke Donald really quickly, being the leader after round one of the HSBC. He kind of did allude to the fact that he's not intending to be a playing captain. Yeah, there hasn't been one since, he said, 1975. And he did shoot 8-under 64 to leave the tournament after day one. But he did say something I thought that was kind of interesting, because the question was posed to him that the conventional wisdom is, Ryder Cup captain loses their game is kind of the expectation. So does he expect that this year, or did this kind of come out of nowhere, or you know, something along those lines? And he said, quote, "I actually came into this year with higher expectations than I had in a while, just for my own game. You know when you're really swinging reasonably well." And he said he had worked with Pat Goss, who's a short game coach. He had worked with Jamie Gow, who's his kind of long game coach. And he feels his game is in a good spot. He's the world like 51, 41, something, 541 in the world. So, I mean, it's not like he's going to all of a sudden qualify for the Ryder Cup team on points. But it is kind of cool to think about the Ryder Cup captain not just being a guy there to play. And even if Henrik Stenson were captain, he'd be a guy not just there to play and scout players. He can still compete on the DP World Tour in his days. So, there's that. Oh, then the last piece of the show that I didn't get to in the first segment, I forgot about. The other TV deal worth noting, World Long Drive is back. World Long Drive was purchased by a group behind a capital fund in New York, like a venture capital fund. Like GF Sports and Entertainment, they own a National Lacrosse League franchise, and they run two ATP tennis tour stops, and they have purchased the World Long Drive from Golf Channel folks who owned it, and they purchased what is called the PLDA, which was kind of World Long Drive while World Long Drive was gone. They ran a world championship for a couple of years. They've combined the two. World Long Drive is going to be back. They're going to put on 12 events. Four of them will be televised. The last four will be televised on Golf Channel, so I'm excited about that. I love watching Long Drive. We might have an interview with Kyle Berkshire, two-time World Long Drive champion. Trying to put that together. That'll air on GNN Radio and probably be on the 19th Hole Golf Show, one of my other podcasts as well. That's going to do it for us today on Two Off the First. Thank you so much for watching and listening to the show. If you have a chance, hit that like, hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. If you are watching elsewhere, thanks for doing that. And if you listen to us through a podcasting service and you can give us a 5-star review, we would appreciate that too. Helps us reach more people. We'll be back tomorrow with another show to wrap up the week on Two Off the First. Thanks for watching, and we will see you then.